Was Simple and Clean from the new album Kingdom Heartbeats by Roborob, and he's featuring Tofuku, and I have Roborob on the line right now. Thank you so much for coming on Press Start to Continue.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
The album is great. Did it first come out?
It's been out for about a month. It came out on the 10th of last month, yeah.
Yeah, and it's been going up since then.
Yeah, it's been a ride.
I can't believe it. I've been seeing articles and websites and you're on the Billboard, the electronica dance chart.
We charted our first week. We charted number 14 on the electronic dance Billboard charts. On for sales. There's different charts and stuff, but that's still a big deal for us.
So for sales, really.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, so it's not that surprising that it's charting that well, but for a Kingdom Hearts dance remix album to go off like that, it's wonderful. It's,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, considering the source material is what, like 20 years old, like, well, not quite 20 years old, right?
My God,
I think Kingdom Hearts 1 came out in like 2002. I was still in high school when it came out. I remember. But yeah, just like that music has been with us for such a long time.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Just think about, like, you don't really think about like how old like some of these games from like the PS2 that were so well loved are. Like, 2002, I was like just getting out of college. I'm like playing Kingdom Hearts 2 and or Kingdom Hearts, and just it's been almost 20 years since it came out, and it still endures. Like, the music is so good, and it's such a good fertile ground for remixing that it's just, I don't know. How did you feel getting to play around with beats and those sounds from the original game?
Well, I mean, it was actually a bit of a challenge, because like any artist or writer or anything, like, you want to say something or have something sound a certain way, but it's really, really hard to actually get it to come out that way sometimes.
Yeah.
The music that Yoko Shimomura did.
Yoko Shimomura?
Shimomura. I always get the names wrong.
Trust me, I mispronounce tons of names on Press Start. Don't worry about it. You're in good company.
Okay, good. But yeah, they did all of the orchestra renditions and the main vocal themes and ending themes and such. Obviously, they worked with Hikaru Tuada to do Passion and Passion is the Japanese version, and then Sanctuary is the American version.
And
Simple and Clean is the American version of the opening theme for One. Like, it was, and that was one of the things that I really wanted to capture about this game too, was this remix album. I mean, is that how many times do we hear like a cool, or, you know, it's like, oh, this is kind of cool, it's different, but it just sounds exactly like the original. It's just changed up a little bit, maybe new instrumentation a little bit, but we really went into it with the idea to, like, for lack of a better term, screw up the instrumentation. And then
that's a really good way of putting it, actually.
And then, like, just like rebuilding it almost. So it was a lot of fun, but we wanted to like keep the nostalgia, because that's where remixes get a lot of their play time, is the nostalgia. Like, I think we may have teetered on and off from the nostalgia train a little bit on a couple of the songs, but the vocal ones especially, like I was saying, we wanted to capture all of it, not just the Japanese version or the orchestral version from 3 that was originally in 1, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We wanted to capture the entire vibe and feel for the vocals. That's why Slyleaf recorded her vocals in Japanese, and she did an amazing job. She sang on Passion, and and then Tofugu did Simple and Clean and Face My Fears. So
the one thing that I noticed with Simple and Clean that we just heard, personally, anytime like Simple and Clean comes on in any form, like, I just start singing. Mm-hmm. And it's just like pretty much everybody else. But I noticed that there were some interesting changes, like with the key and with the vocals, that really made it stand out, and really made it different. But like you said, like going on and off the nostalgia, it wasn't just pure nostalgia. It was like, oh, this is a really new take on it that I haven't heard before.
Yeah, like for example, like the bass chords of the Simple and Clean version are pretty simple. You know, major chord, minor chord, minor chord, major chord. But so we would keep the same progression, but we would just add sevenths or ninths in there, and just to try and, like, you know, play with the voicing a little bit, see what sounded good. And then, yeah, we changed keys because Tofuku couldn't even sing that high.
Yeah.
I mean, and she was nailing some of those really high notes, obviously, but she was just like, hey, you sent this to me in G flat, and the highest I can record is like a D sharp, so E flat. And so I was like, all right, cool. So I think we moved it to F minor, and then there was one or two notes that she nailed it, and yeah, she was surprised that she nailed it. And so we just, like, you know, I did a little producer magic and
yeah,
cut the high notes that she did good and put it everywhere else.
And by the way, to everybody listening, if you are a new listener to Press Start to Continue, or haven't heard any of the interviews before, we get music geeky here. So strap in. A little. you know, it's F minor, and then we went into 7-9, and it's like... So, anyway... So yeah, I was just thinking, like, of course, yeah, there are some extra beats in there that I kind of, in the back of my head, that I noticed, like, subliminally that I noticed, that, again, like, makes this version of Simple and Clean much different from tons of other ones that are obviously, like, mm-hmm, OC remix and just, like, out there, which is not to say that they're not good, definitely.
Right, they're just different.
This is just a really different take on the music. So
we kept, we had to re-record it, and this actually took me way longer than it should have, but that guitar sound with, like, the long echo and delay that you hear during Simple and Clean,
yeah,
it's just a da-da-dun, da-da-dun, and it's just got that, like, weird ping pong delay going on. That's just kind of like that staple sound from the original track. With the help of, like, four other producers, I think we nailed that sound.
So that took, like a council of producers to really get down.
I actually for that one too, I hit up my high school music teacher.
Really?
Yeah, because he, like I said, this game came out when I was in high school, right? So, right. I showed it to him way back in the day, and he was like, oh, this is a great song. And so I showed him what I was trying to do, and he's like, oh yeah, to do that, you'll want to record it this way, and then put this kind of delay on it, and then compress it a certain way, and blah, blah. And so he really helped me out out there. And I, like, hadn't talked to him for a long time, so it was cool to... I'm sorry, not high school teacher. It was a college teacher.
Got it. So that's really interesting. Like, going, back to your college teacher and saying, like, hey, can you give me some suggestions on it? Like,
yeah, we really wanted to keep that sound. We really wanted to make it, and I was doing my best, but I was also, we made this album in under a month and a half. And that's something that
I'm sorry. We need to back up for a second.
Oh, okay.
You made it in a month and a half?
Yeah.
Did you sleep at all?
It was... So Sebastian at Materia Collective hit me up, like, February, and he said, hey, I have an idea for a project, and I think you would be perfect to head this. And from there, he was just like, okay, we want to capitalize off of Kingdom Hearts 3, and so we did. he basically gave me full freedom to do whatever I wanted, and I did kind of, like, I already had, like, maybe four tracks that I was working on already for an original album that I kind of repurposed for this. One of them was Simple and Clean. I repurposed for this one. If I would show you, like, the work in progress from the original version, you'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, I kind of kind of hear it. Like, there's a lot of similarities. But I think that's what's kind of cool about it, right? Is like, he just said, he said, hey, do this. And I was like, okay, well, I'll change the key. I'll BPM, change the BPM. I'll change the chord patterns. And, but a lot of those like bass sounds and wubs and stabs and stuff, those, they're all the same. So it was a culmination of wanting to do something new with, because I wanted to put out original music. But then him saying, okay, well, I want this as done as quick, pretty much as quickly as possible. And I immediately set out and started finding other people to work with. Arthur X Medic, of course, I can't tell you how vital he was to this project. So I would send him an idea for the track literally the next day. He would send me like a hook or a verse, or just a lot of really clean, crisp drums. Like, he's just really good at processing drums. So he would send me stuff that just sounded really clean and fresh. And I would be able to bounce ideas off of that and stuff. And then Kabuki helped out a lot. Chuck Nunn helped out a lot, obviously. Everyone that I work with, Megaflare sent me pretty much a fleshed out remix, and then I put chords underneath it. I did change quite a bit of the voicings that he sent me, but yeah. The Megaflare track was Sinister Sundown.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
Yeah, and then Traverse Town, the track I did with Kabuki, that was a ride. Like, it started out as something completely different. It was just a completely different song when we first tried to. It just sounded corny, too corny. And like, Traverse Town is just
corny anyway.
You know? Right, it's already a corny song, right? So we're like, okay, how do we make this song cool?
Well, actually, this is a good point. Let's listen to Traverse Town right now. Sure. So this is the track we were just talking about. We can talk about a little more after. Traverse Town by Roborob, who is online right now from the new album Kingdom Heartbeats, and you're listening to Press Start to Continue. We'll be right back. That was Traverse Town by Robo Rob from the Billboard charted album Kingdom Heartbeats, a new dance electronica album that has been put out by Materia Collective. And Robo Rob is on the line right now. Thank you so much for being on again.
Yeah, thank you.
So going more into Traverse Town, you were saying that you wanted to make this corny, bouncy, kind of repetitive song like really cool. So how did you really go about that?
We made the drop first, and the drop has nothing to do with this track, right? So essentially, if you take out just the Traverse Town elements, the melody and the chord progression and stuff like that, you're left with basically an original bass house track. And that's kind of where we were like, okay, well, this song is in, I can't remember off the top of my head keys, but the song itself is in a major key. So we decided, all right, when we go into the drop, we will kind of shift towards its relative minor and go from there. And then like sprinkle in little bits of the melody here and there in the song. And it started out as like, let's just make this a really happy, fluffy song like it already is. Yeah. But no, I think it turned out to be one of probably one of my more, I mean, I like them all obviously, but
yeah, but, of course
this song, it probably turned out to be one of my more favorite tracks. Also because it happened in like a week, really. It happened in like a week. We kept going back and forth on ideas for almost an entire month, and we couldn't figure something out that we both liked or wanted to pursue. Right. And then Kabuki basically sent me something, and he's like, you know what? I literally have today to work on this, and that's it. So this is what you get.
Like, we're down to the line.
Yeah, we're down to the line.
We're
going to
turn in the paper no matter what it is.
Right. Well, and the way he sent back to me was just like, okay, I can do this. I can work with this.
Just thinking about the way that you've been talking about producing this, it's breaking each track down to its base elements and then building on that instead of just like you hear a lot of remixers. They take the music and maybe shift something and add something in or something like that. But you don't hear a lot of people that's just like take the basic elements of the song and then build off of that into like a different direction than you're expecting.
So right.
That's every track like that sound on here sounds like it's just different in a way that can draw you in. Well, the nostalgia part draws you in, and it's different in a way that keeps you there. That's what I was trying to say. Well, I wanted to switch gears, and I ask everybody with like a pseudonym, like, where did you get Robo Rob? Like, why do you have DJ Robo Rob?
Well, I've tried to drop the DJ from my name because that was a very 2011 thing to do for DJs back in the day.
DJ MC.
Right. Yeah. Right. But really it's just as simple as like, I love robots and my name is Rob. And, Robo Rob kind of just stuck. Like, people called me Robo Rob all the time, back like years before. Really? When I was in like, I was in a couple of bands before I ever started doing this kind of stuff, electronic stuff. And, I was in a band called Robotronica for the longest time, which was, it was fun. But the other guitar players went by Tom Borg, and I was Robo Rob, and we had, I can't remember what our drummer went by, but it was some kind of robot-y sounding name. So yeah, it's always just been something that I like.
What kind of music did you start out with, since you transitioned into doing more of this stuff, like the bands that you were in? Was it still like electronica stuff, or was it something?
Robotronica was like, I think MySpace pop punk music, like that synthy pop punk stuff that was popular in like 2009.
Yeah.
But like add nerdy elements to it instead of singing about broken hearts.
So it was basically like a nerdcore.
I would call it nerdcore. We even had a rap about Mario and eating shrooms. Like, it was just, it was dumb. It was dumb and fun, and we had a good time.
As long as you had a good time, that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
So we, as of this record, as we're recording right now, it's just a few days. Well, we're into E3. Mm-hmm. We've just had the conferences for Bethesda, the Nintendo Direct, and Microsoft, and everything like that. So, what are your thoughts about each conference? Like, is there anything that you're really excited about? Like, were there conferences that you're like, wow, okay, like that's
The ups and downs of like, oh my god, this is really cool, and then why are you being so cringy? Like, it's. I will never understand how the dynamic can go back and forth so fast. Like,
seriously.
At least when Nintendo came on and they knew they were the fun. They're the fun ones. They're they're, you know.
they bring joy.
They bring joy. Bethesda was ridiculous. I don't understand why anybody like. That I think that was probably my biggest like up and down, because I am beyond stoked for Doom Eternal.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I don't know if Bethesda is doing Cyberpunk 2077, but I'm super stoked for that.
I don't believe they are.
I don't think they are, but you're right. I don't think they are. I can't remember. Yeah, Keanu Reeves is doing it.
So that's it's really his year. Like, he is in so much stuff that's just amazing.
I haven't seen John Wick 3 yet, but
yeah, me neither. I gotta watch that. Yeah. But apparently, like, my friends have seen it; they're just all over it. It's really
right.
I can't wait. But the one thing about the Bethesda conference was that like 7 people in the front row going nuts over everything, like.
It's just like, you know that they're paid to be there.
Seriously. Or they were given some sort of chemical. like, as they were walking in, it's like, get these guys to the front. You know, like, just right. Like, you need to, like, I was going through the, watching it, I was like, you guys gotta settle down. Yeah. You're gonna have a heart attack over Fallout 76.
Yeah, no one cares about Fallout 76.
Like, and they know it too. That's the funniest thing.
there were times that I was just like, because I was watching with friends, and we were in a Discord chat together, and there were literally moments where there would be clapping in the crowd and like, yeah, woohoo, yeah, like, but no one was.
Yeah,
like you could literally see no one doing it. So it's like, okay, did they like? Did they put that audio in there? what's going on?
It was just those two guys.
So bizarre. Yeah, and that one guy.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah. Screaming. Wow.
The funniest thing, that one thing I really just kept cracking up about is they brought out developers and you know, they're developers. They're not like stage performers or anything. Once a year, the devs are like trotted out and like treated like rock stars, which is not usually like what a programmer is built for. And they're trying to get through this conference and trying to like, you know, be really excited about what they're doing and everything. They kept interrupting them.
Yeah. Like, I don't know who it was that was like. Had a really bad shark costume on. I don't remember which one that was a part of, but I think I saw that during just a recap video. And she's just standing there looking at him wide-eyed, smiling like, this is my job. I'm having fun. Like, okay.
Yeah.
But cringe aside, there are some games I'm looking forward to for 2020. I'm a huge Devolver fanboy, so pretty much all of those games, really looking forward to those. I really like the Obsidian's new game. Looks great.
Which one is that?
Outer Worlds.
I think I caught a bit of that. What were the Devolver games? I might have missed.
So there's like a Fall Guys, and I don't know what that really is, but it looks really bouncy and fun, and just like we were like these little beans that are trying to get a crown. So who knows what it is.
Right.
Really, but there was one. My friend Pedro, that looks fun.
My friend Pedro looks amazing. I saw like a couple screens of that on Steam, and I immediately put it on my on my wish list. It looks so good. I haven't seen much of the Fall Guys, but so how did you feel about the Nintendo Direct?
You know, I'll probably lose points for this, but I like some games, you know, I like some Zelda games and stuff, but I've never really been that huge of a Nintendo fan. Growing up, I was more of a PS2 person, PlayStation person. I do enjoy some of the games, but like I don't have a Switch. You know, like I think the last time I had a Nintendo related product was a Nintendo 64. It was the last time I owned. No, I had a GameCube for a while, but you know, that was back in the day.
Yeah.
I think I got a GameCube because Resident Evil 4 was an exclusive at the time. If you remember, I don't know if you remember that or not, but when they announced that Resident Evil 4 was going to be a GameCube exclusive, I was like, oh, okay, well, so they're going to finally step up Nintendo's game selection. And
yeah, well, I mean, everybody was a PS2 fan. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, that PS2 just ruled that cycle.
Right.
They completely demolished the competition on everything. I mean, versus Xbox and the GameCube, ate Dreamcast lunch.
Yeah. I think it's cool. Like I play Smash with my friends whenever you know I'm over with them. Mario Maker is cool. You know, I like the whole idea of making your own Mario levels and putting them up online for people to play, stuff like that, which is pretty neat. But, I think, you know, I get that people were super excited for a new Zelda game. Obviously that is exciting.
The sequel to Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. Which I still need to play. So
it's all right. I am in the middle of it. I just got a Switch a few months ago, and I'm still trying to beat this one level, and I just keep putting it down, going to Dragon Ball FighterZ, and then picking it up.
I'm a PC gamer now, and I mean, it's not even like a like ooh PC for life kind of thing. It's just like I would just rather play my games with a mouse and keyboard.
I'm right there with you. I mean, especially shooters. I have never ever been able to play a shooter on.
Always had a hard time.
Yeah, on a controller. I mean, I've always thought like part of it's because, you know, I started playing shooters with Wolfenstein. So,
Wolfenstein 3D was the first game I ever like played on a computer ever.
Yeah, I mean, I got it like, you know, it was on like freeware back in the 90s, so I got that, and I started playing that, and then when it made the jump to when they started going in console, like I tried playing Halo on the Xbox, and I was like, oh, am I dying so much?
Right.
So what I usually play is Metroidvania games, and there were like just looking at like the Nintendo Direct and basically I'm really excited there's going to be actually, the game I'm really, really excited about is Silksong. Hollow Knight Silksong.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be great.
I'm really hyped for that. Also, Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Ori and the Will of the Wisps, yeah. That's going to be really, really great.
Oh, Carrion was the other Devolver game that looks really cool. You play the monster, alien monster that escapes from the lab, and you kill everybody. So it's like a reverse alien horror type game.
Oh, cool. I'll have to look that up. Are there any other projects that you'd like to talk about?
Other projects I've got coming up right now. I am in the works. Like I said, I had a bunch of original music that some of it I repurposed for this, but some of it I just went on the back burner until Kingdom Hearts came out. And I'm working on some original stuff right now. And I got a lot of names on that one, a lot of collabs. So that should be pretty good. I've got Tofuku again, None Like Joshua, Nikichi, who goes by Knee now, Richie Branson, hopefully.
Really?
Yeah. So
nice.
We've been skirting with the idea of doing something together for... God, years, like since I met him.
Yeah.
So we've been talking about doing something with him. He should have something to me hopefully this month, but let's just all cross our fingers that it works out. He's so busy right now that I don't blame him if he can't get it done, you know.
Like, oh yeah, he's coming out with like some new tracks like all the time now. He's really getting back into the game.
Yeah. He's done so much. I remember 2016, I think, 15 or 16. 16. I went on tour with him and MC Omai. And oh, nice. We just did like, I think, 4 Texas spots. But every night, this was like right before his surgery, his major surgery. And so he was just like, this is it, man. Like, I'm giving this all I got. And if I go, then I go. And at least I was able to go out doing music. And I was like, dude, don't talk like that.
That's hardcore.
Yeah. Like I remember me and Leron, we're all just like chilling in my living room before driving the next day. And he's just like getting super deep about it. And then Leron was just like, cool, well, you want to do a song about Tinder tomorrow with me or something? Like, something silly like that. It was just like this crazy, like, that's nerdcore, man. That's like,
yeah, it really is.
It's like, you can be super serious and really like down to earth and passionate. And then your next song is going to be about Mario eating shrooms. But yeah, that's other than that, music wise, I'm slated to, I may or may not be working on Chrono Trigger remix album, which that was like when I talk about, like, I mean, yeah, I had a Super Nintendo growing up. Those were the games I played on it. You know what I mean? Like, I was the JRPGs and the RPGs and stuff. So, working with Mega Flare again on some
nice.
On some stuff. Not sure when that's going to come out. We're doing it right because it's a favorite game for both of us. Yeah. So we don't want to rush things too much.
There's a lot of fertile ground in the Chrono series.
There really is.
Wonderful music in that.
Oh yeah. Amazing. Probably gonna work on something for Final Fantasy VII Remake just because it's gonna get a huge boost.
Yeah. So
who gets his main source of income from remixing video games now, like, I would be stupid to not jump on that train.
Yeah, it was really funny. It's just like a lot of YouTube channels that I watch, they just all were dropping Avenger stuff when the Avengers Endgame came out. It's like, good business sense.
Yeah, Endgame. That sure was an end to the...
Oh, man. I was there opening night, and the roller coaster of emotion that the entire crowd had as one was really breathtaking, honestly. Just to go off on a tangent, like, that's why I usually go to opening nights.
Yeah.
Especially for like movies like that, like fandom movies, because it's just the feeling of everyone enjoying something to the utmost all together, like all these strangers. It's really an interesting experience.
For sure.
So, but just with everything that happened in that, just up and down and left and right, it's like, oh my god, I was exhausted when I came out of there.
I was too. glad it's over. I really hope they like, not glad it's over. Like, I like the characters and such.
Yeah.
I am glad that we're finally able to get new stories. I really hope that we get to see some cool new Captain America stuff, new Avengers. We've been doing backstories and small story arcs for 12 years now. Yeah. So
let's
do some other cool team up movies. Those are the best. The team up movies are the best, in my opinion.
Oh, so. Yeah. I mean, like Thor Ragnarok or
Ragnarok Civil was just War. Like,
it
wasn't a Thor movie. It was a half of the Avengers movie in space.
I'm really excited to see what they do next. Like a lot of people are saying, like, if they stopped here, then it would feel like a complete journey, which is really odd for movies.
For sure.
So before we go, I wanted to talk about Dearly Beloved, specifically. And when we were talking about the interview, I said, okay, give me three songs that you really like that you want to play on the show and talk about on the show. He said Simple and Clean, Traverse Town, and Dear Beloved. And I was like, yes, because Dearly Beloved is my absolute favorite track from Kingdom Hearts. I don't know if you ever did this, but sometimes I would just leave it on.
Yeah.
And just let it loop. And that and some music from Mega Man 2 and Zelda Wind Waker, just excellent, just as they are. So, but the way that you remixed Dearly Beloved was really interesting, taking this like kind of contemplative, like slower piece and like hyping it up a little bit. So can you go into that a little bit, like inspiration for that? Or
inspiration for that was someone asked, well, one of my inspirations for that was I lost the project file 3 days before I was supposed to have pre-masters ready.
Oh, no!
It was originally... Now, get this. It was originally an electro-funk track.
What?
And I had a horn section, and I played guitar on it. I played bass guitar on it. And I didn't have the time, and I was too frustrated to re-record everything. And...
Oh, man.
It was it's kind of sad, but in the end the thing that sparked this was a friend saying, you lost it, that sucks, move on, and what would it sound like if Deadmau5 made Dearly to Beloved? And I was like, that's so cliche to say, Deadmau5 is, king of electronic music, blah blah blah, just all that stuff, and he was like, no, like really think about like Deadmau5's specific style, like, and who he's influenced and the type of music he makes now, not just his overarching career, but like, what would a progressive electro house track that's kind of dark and moody but energetic and full of electronic components do for this basically just a piano song, right? Yeah.
Like a really short, like looping
Like, oh, yeah. And it's just a very simple melody over some very simple chords on the bottom hand when you're playing it on the piano. And so I kept playing it out over and over and over again. And I was like, no, I like these chords under it instead, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's basically kind of what I did. I just had a piano looping the melody, and then I was picking out chords to play underneath. And then I came across a couple of really good, good sample packs on Splice, and which is like a invaluable production tool, for producers. Basically you can, instead of buying like full sample packs, you can just buy one or two,
nice.
Samples from the sample packs that you like the most. And so I was going on there and I was like, oh, this sounds really nice and crisp and clean, and I like the way it sounds, and I have 2 days to get this done, so that's what I'm using. So that's how that song really came about. And I was already looking at this, right? I'm like, okay, Simple and Clean's upbeat, Tension Rising is darker and really energetic, 13th Struggle was mid-tempo, right? It was mid-tempo and heavy, right. Angry. Passion was kind of this like mixture of all those things. And like, we didn't really have a track on here that was like actually dark and moody. That's really, I was just like, okay, now I'm going to take this, it's just a piano. Like, that's what I love about remixing music, is it's just a piano. It's just a piano part that loops over and over again. Just build it into this. I think it's the longest track on the album. It's like 5 minutes long. it was fun to make. Picking out all the chords and stuff. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, like I said before, like breaking, like taking the piece, breaking it down into its base elements, and then using those as building blocks for something that could be like completely different, but still uses the same. The same building blocks.
Right.
So we're going to listen to that now, but before we go, Robo Rob, thank you so much for being on Presser to Continue. In the show notes for the show, we'll have links to your Patreon and your Twitter and your Bandcamp and all that stuff. Really cool article from Kotaku that you had. Yeah. And congratulations on the album charting.
Thank you.
Which is wild. So great.
Thanks, man.
The remixing, I guess, community, or like the genre of remixing, it really, whenever that happens, it really shines a light on like all these great works that you've done and that other people have done. And so, right.
Huge shout out to Materia Collective. Their team is just fantastic. They were so easy to work with too. Really good group of people there. And Sebastian is doing some amazing things with video game music, and the whole team is really, and it was just a pleasure to work with them. So
yeah, they have
huge shout out there.
They have a huge catalog. I'll link them too. They have a huge catalog of just amazing music, different mm-hmm. different styles, different kinds. I've definitely played their stuff on Press Start to Continue before. If you go to starttocontinue.com and look at the shows, you'll see all that. You'll also, on starttocontinue.com/interviews, you'll be able to hear the entire interview where we talk about E3 and different video games and movies and stuff like that. It's been a really great time. So thank you so much for being on Press Start.
Sure, no problem. And if anyone listening is in Utah or California or Washington D.C., those are my next three shows coming up. So
can you give me the dates for that?
End of this month we've got the Salt Lake City Gaming Convention, and that is the 27th, 28th, and 29th of June. Mag West is coming up in September, and that's in San Jose, the 13th through the 15th of September. And then my next big show is Mag Fest, and that will be in January. I'm not playing main stage or anything, but I'm actually on the booking team there now. So it's it's gonna be a lot of fun to curate that show, and I don't know if you've been up to the nightclub up there, but
unfortunately I've never been to Magfest.
You gotta go.
trust me, I wish. I would corner so many artists. Right. But yeah, thank you again, and we're gonna play Dearly Beloved. Congratulations again, and remember go to follow him on Twitter, go to his Bandcamp, Facebook, SoundCloud. So this is Dearly Beloved by RoboRob. It's on the excellent album Kingdom Heartbeats, coming from Materia Collective, and been listening to Press Start to continue.